the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Ron O'Gara, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Hi, Gerard. How are you?
There's a lot of stuff going on in World Rugby at the moment in terms of conversations about rule changes. In particular, the one that we wanted to get your opinion on first was the number of replacements, perhaps going from 8 down to 5. They're talking about trialling this and has heavyweight support at the top level of the game. So those things that tend to get trialled, sometimes they can be a shoe-in. What's your take? Would that be good or bad for the game?
Well, it's big news, first of all. I only heard about it yesterday. I tried to process the information yesterday. And there's massive implications to how you create a squad or your team and your finishers and how you start the game. So it would have big, big implications. So yeah, it's obviously an area that I need to get up to speed on very quickly. And I am aware of, are there, within the rules of that, are there certain front row numbers you have to hit targets on, or are we aware of that at the minute?
I think they're trying to work out all those details, and I think it's even to be worked out whether or not you'll still be able to have your 8 players on the bench and only use 5 of them, but then if there's a front row emergency, you get an extra kind of almost like a blood sub. I think those details are still being worked out.
Yeah, and just having spent a little bit of time on the bench towards the latter stage of my career, it's hugely unfulfilling if you don't get game time. Even 2 minutes, I think you get to release those emotions, and it could create an awful lot more problems. The fact that if you have guys that are unused substitutes, if that happens for a number of weeks, I think some of them nearly prefer to be you're playing on the second team or having an idea of when they will get game time, because all the players need game time. And if you're 5 of those 8 are only allowed to take to the pitch, it will be a challenge, but that's something you have to manage. I can understand. Obviously, there's been a massive dependency on experts on tight heads and loose heads and hookers, so that's 3 automatically gone. No, if I go back to where it was 10 years ago, equally efficient in playing both sides of the scrum. And you think of a fellow like Andrew McAleo of the Crusaders, who could play probably 3 positions. He becomes extra valuable then. So, you know, if you have a guy that can play tight head, loose head and hooker, he's a banker for the start on the bench, isn't he?
He's getting rich.
Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, like a lot of players are capable of playing second row and number 6 or number 8, not really number 7. But you have to be very crafty in how you come create it. But I think at 8, you know, sometimes a lot of teams are going 6 and 2.
Yeah.
In terms of, and then it's like being able to replace nearly your whole forward pack, and it doesn't create mismatches after the 66th minute. You have guys just as good, particularly at test level, that have come in. And an awful lot of coaches now are watching live GPS to kind of go, OK, this guy is waning, take him off. And I know a number of coaches over the years, especially when we were players, that were looking to see where those markers being made, and if they were metres per minute not being hit, you might call to the bench. Well, I also felt sometimes there was great kind of interest or appreciation for a feel for a game and a flow to a game in terms of, just this guy's had an error, let him off and see how he goes, and then hopefully he regains confidence and then he comes good again. But, you know, they're managing challenging topics for rugby, especially with the physicality. The more substitutes, the more change you can make. You're going to be just probably keep feeding the monster physicality if you have that idea of less subs that can take the pitch. Hopefully, if you have a good pace to the game and ball and play for a number of minutes, people will tire and you might see a more attacking brand of the game.
We had Dr. James Robson on Keith Wood's State of the Union last week, and he was saying, you know, he's got 40 odd years of being a Scotland doctor and a Lions doctor, and he'd like to see the game going back to being a game where players try and run around each other as opposed to running through each other. And I suppose the game is desperately trying to get back to a point where it isn't just feeding the monster and it isn't just big beasts killing each other the whole time, where more craft and more guile is coming into it. I mean, does this automatically help with that? Is it a small step along the way? How much help would this be?
Well, I think a lot of that too is mindset of the coaches. You look at just the last World Cup, probably the big two winners were Colby and Japan, and none of them are monsters by any mean. And I think the speed of the brain will always breed the physicality. So that's a really positive for guys that are small in stature. And I think the speed of thought is the most important thing. But honestly, at times you felt in the past watching, sometimes a big example would be if, you know, I mean, an awful lot of 12s were picked because they were very physical players and it was about winning the game line. But there's other ways of winning the game line as well. You know what I mean? I think it's all about identifying space and getting into space. But I genuinely haven't had enough time to process this new rule, because it's a big call, because so much is at stake in terms of how you kind of, like, an awful lot of players think you start with your best team, and an awful lot of coaches don't think like that. They kind of go, okay, I might actually try and finish better when there's tired bodies after 50 odd minutes, and they definitely will be an advantage, I would think, if you can only have less subs on the pitch.
Ron, can I ask, when you were playing, did you find later in the game that your ability to unlock a defence with the boot just increased by so much? I guess even if you go back 10 years, you wouldn't necessarily.
I was able to unlock with the hand as well.
Sorry, said
I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I was able to unlock the defence with the ball in hand as well, Owen. Yeah. You've too much time in Kerry.
Because I was just making the point that if you go back 10 years, people weren't necessarily running the entire bench, that it was up to you to kind of figure it out, that in a little bit of a different way. I'm not sure what you think about that.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I definitely think that, especially when teams, as I said, the Jurgo 6-2, you have fresh people everywhere. You know what I mean? The beauty of the game, probably when there was less substitutes, going back a number of years, there was definitely a fatigue element, and it became apparent among coaches at the time, you know, if you do this on the first, second and third phase, on the fourth and fifth phase you might find the tight head and the loose head together in midfield, and that's an area to go after, and that's just smart coaching. And naturally, because props are so valuable in the game, because, I mean, if we diminish the scrum, it's going to become rugby league. We cannot do that. So you need all shapes and sizes, and you need great scrummagers in the game, and that's why the scrum, even though it wrecks everyone's head how long it takes sometimes to collapse scrums and reset scrums, but if you don't value a scrum hook or a scrummager who can manipulate his opposition and gain 3 points for his team, then the game has changed already. So I think, coming back to your question, yes, I did feel that, and I think that is important, that there is that emphasis on trying to have high intensity in the game and keeping it for as long as you can, that you will sometimes run teams off their feet.
Are we seeing, over the last 18 months, more responsibility given to whoever is the playmaker, generally the out half, but sometimes there's a second playmaker in some teams as well, to try and beat these mass defences, that actually the game is evolving, and it'd be interesting to see exactly what happens with that evolution, that there are fewer teams going to just rely on brute strength, that we are actually asking the out halves to be more clever.
You're right, Jeremy, and it probably, we have underappreciated how England have changed, I think, the way the game is played as well. I think they didn't get the result against South Africa, but I think there probably would have been overreaction if they did in that regard, because they play really, really good rugby. But so much of their emphasis is pushing the ball through along the ground, identifying that a lot of teams have only one person in the backfield, so identifying where the space is. Sometimes you don't have to run into space, you can push the ball into space. So with their kind of multiple kick threats in terms of far forward, Elliot Daly, Slade, they're very, Johnny May is good at it, they're very, very adept at finding space, and then they just actually increase their kind of, I suppose, defensive mindset in the right areas of the pitch for opposition to come up with errors when they're put under high pressure and put more in the front line. So in that regard, they're kind of they're manipulating teams into trying to run against them, while England are actually probably the best attacking kicking team in the world. And you look at probably the massive change in the game in the Aotearoa setup at the minute has been the amount of times our New Zealand teams are kicking the ball and attacking positions, they're happy with actually 17 metre games.
Which is funny, because that's kind of what Joe Schmidt's Ireland were doing in 2017 and 2018 when they were at their best, and they got a lot of criticism for.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It all comes full circle. I've kind of been watching it going, wow, this is massive. And I would say in the first 3 weeks of this competition, they've attempted more draft goals than they have in the last 10 years.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think actually it's there's a big fascination, I think, over there probably be playing a Northern Hemisphere type of game in terms of when the weather comes in, when it's not conducive to playing good rugby, because you got to remember now it's obviously the depth of winter over there, so they're able to play a summer game and a winter game. But I think they've always probably been admirers of the way the game is played over here, but also realistic that they can't beat the ball handling. And with the way the World Cup went for them, and they got the way they got dismantled by England, I would say there's a lot of studies of the English game, and England's attack and kicking game is better than anyone else's in the world at the minute.
And is this stuff that we are actually naturally good at, and so that trend is kind of in our favour in some ways at the moment?
Well, exactly, it is. But then I think what we need to, or probably where we would be a little bit behind, would be the skill set of the front five, the ball handling, the straight line running. So the New Zealand front five have that, but they don't have the kind of natural kicking game that we would have over here. So they're obviously working hard on their weaknesses. And I think for Irish rugby, it'd be very interesting to see just the development in terms of the catch pass and hits upfield areas like that, where that would add another layer to our attacking game.
What are we doing to improve the handling of our front five?
I actually not too sure of the actual specifics of one, but I presume it's repped every day in training. Every team really does catch pass now. It's an area that, even though it's very simple skill, there's a lot of areas where it can become a waste of time if it's not practiced correctly. So a lot of people drift on a pass without them realising, and they think they're actually running straight, but you actually have to kind of go through them on a video and say, okay, the great thing about it is, we know the video doesn't lie, so they may think that you're lying, but actually when you watch the video and say, okay, that line hasn't moved, but you've moved. So has the line moved, or have you moved? So in that regard, it's. But like everything, it takes a little bit to start. But then, if you're pissed with it, you can get it. But because it's a simple skill, people think it's not important. But it's the Dan Carter philosophy: do the simple things well over and over again.
It certainly worked for him. We had Andy Friend on last night talking about how lockdown has been an opportunity for his whole coaching staff to revisit all sorts of things, from the simple day of the week off that they used to have. They're going to change that to post-match, the day after matches, instead of getting everybody to come into training for a video session. They're going to do those video sessions on Zoom now to give people more time with their family at home. Have you gone through any of that stuff just yet? Are you having those conversations with your own backroom team and your players?
I kind of have them myself, to be honest, sure. I think, as I said, maybe not in this program, but maybe to myself, I think if I'm not right, how can I expect the management and the players to be right? So it's been a brilliant opportunity to get better the last 4 months. And the big learning for me would be there's no need to be in the office at 6 o'clock, I don't think. Breakfast with the kids and bringing them to school is very important, as opposed to them thinking that you spent the night in a hotel, which is kind of relinked to your days as a player. So if you're organised, 8 to 4 o'clock is adequate time to get things done, because you can be chasing it, and that's what I was doing basically for 15 years till I got this opportunity in force to reassess completely everything, and it has turned its own sense. But I think ultimately, personally speaking, incredibly for the better for me.
As a better person, as opposed to just being a better coach?
Yeah, well, I think it probably feeds into both. And plenty of time to ask yourself why. Why am I doing this? What do I want out of this? Why am I doing this? Some of those questions are hard. So you have to be absolutely convinced if you want to do this career. And I think I know my answer now, so I can kind of attack it with fresh gusto.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. And I think everybody's kind of... Here's the thing, not everybody and not all sports are actually examining why we do things and how we do things, but some sports are, and certainly within sports, individuals are. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see what wrinkles come out of this period of time, just the creativity. Like, we all know through human history, massive periods of change have come after big crises like this. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. When are you guys back playing? What's the return to play like?
We've had a good 3 weeks. This is a week off this week. So we've had 3 weeks kind of really soft of a pre-season. Obviously planned, I think, but more so in the fact of with the financial implications, we're kind of on chômage. So we're partial chômage. We're allowed kind of 2 or 3 hours in the building a day. So our performance team have come up with a good plan, I think, having looked at the Bundesliga and the NRL with the amount of spike in injuries. So a lot of teams have gone back too hard too soon. So we've kind of set up a project, well, not a project, but a plan where it's kind of, we're going to go attack our pre-season on the 13th of July. So 3 weeks of a kind of a lead into that where nothing is at anywhere near max. And then a week off and then go hard on the 13th.
And games at the start of August, is that right?
No, not start of August, end of August.
End of August.
And first competition game on the 5th of February, which I'm at Biarritz this week, and it's they're very cautious over here. Everyone wearing masks, which is good to see, and I think... There's good signs, I think, for the... Obviously, to respect how serious... viruses, so hopefully there won't be a second wave in France, because if there is, it'll be post Christmas or post January, and we're going to lose rugby clubs if that's the case.
Yeah, absolutely. Great surf in Biarritz, apparently. Are you hanging 10?
No, I can't do it. I actually tried to go in for a swim yesterday, and he's got demolished by the wave. I'm a little bit cautious today.
A little bit of bodyboarding.
Good watching. Good to watch. No, they've no respect for bodyboards. They're not allowed. No. Whistled off. Out of the water.
You can blame the kids. I'm just looking after them. Yeah, exactly.
They've no fear.
Well, listen, enjoy your holiday. Good stuff. Thanks a million.
Great chat, guys. See you on.
Ron O'Gara there giving us some thoughts from sunny Biarritz, where it's good to hear they're all wearing masks.
OTB. AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.